in Exodus chapter 12, in verse 1, the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So the first month of the year. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it in the two side posts on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain to the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Just want to pick up on a couple of things here. This chapter is actually full of a lot of great information. But in considering the Passover, just to get us where we are, Joseph, of course, was sold as a slave into Egypt. His family came later because of a famine. And Joseph revealed himself after some trial. He revealed himself and said, I am Joseph, your brother. And of course, he fell on his neck and wept and kissed him, and they were reunited, and he asked about his father. And so eventually, all of them came. 70 of them came. The family of Joseph, they all came to Israel, and they had a place in Goshen. Remember, they told the Pharaoh, well, they're cattle keepers. And the Egyptians didn't like that, so they said, give them Goshen. Let them have that place down there. They'll be away from us, but they'll still have safety, because remember, the Pharaoh highly regarded Joseph. Joseph was the man making all the decisions, saving all the people through this time of famine. So now we've got the Jews in Egypt. They grew and they grew until it became a point where the Egyptians wanted to make them slaves. And the Egyptians put them to labor and into slavery and in bondage. And they wanted to get rid of them, but instead of getting rid of them, they decided just to work them and abuse them and use them. And that's what they did. But then it came to a time where they cried out to God, and God said, I think it's time to let these people go. And so he met a man in the desert. A man who had grown up in Pharaoh's house. A man who was raised by his own mother, but in the king's house, as the turn of events went. And so Moses is this man. He had killed an Egyptian who was harassing a Jew. And because of that, the next day he went out and he got sharp with somebody. And that somebody that he got sharp with said to him, what are you going to do? Kill me like you killed that guy yesterday? And Moses knew that he was discovered as being one who had killed, and so he escaped. He fled. He went to a land on the backside of the desert to a priest of Midian named Jethro. And he married Jethro's daughter. He became a shepherd. And he kept those sheep in this land that eventually he would lead Israel back through. And as he was leading the sheep one day, God met him there as a burning bush. And Moses said, now that's a sight. Let me go look at it. That's in the Bahuki translation. And so he got over there and he looked at this. And God spoke to him out of that burning bush and said, I've chosen you to lead my people. I want you to go back and let my people go. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, God, I'm not a very good speaker. I've got this speech impediment. And God said, it's not a problem. I sent your brother. He's on his way. When he gets there, you tell him he's going to be your speaker. And you and I will talk. I'll tell you what to tell him, and he'll tell the people. And so that's how it worked from there on out. So you notice here in verse number 1, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. So he's speaking to both of them. He's come back, and we talked about the other day what is it that we have that God can use? And we started with Moses because God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, that's a staff. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. It became a serpent. He said, pick it up. Well, first he ran off, didn't he? He ran away from it. And then he came back. He said, pick it up. And he picked it up and it became a staff again. And so now God has led him back to Egypt to let the people go, to lead the people. And he went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go that they may worship me. And Pharaoh said, well, I don't believe I will. He said, well, if you don't, God's going to rain down plagues on you. He said, nah, I don't believe I'm going to let y'all do that. And so we went through the 10 plagues. Now here we are at the final step. And God says, Moses, and we begin in verse 12, we already read it. He said, this is going to be the first day. This is going to be the first month of the year for you. He said, on that 10th day, I want you to go out in the field and I want you to gather a lamb or a goat. And I want it to be a male goat. And I want it to be a year, a young goat, 1 year old. Now, why 1 year? And I thought about that, and I prayed about that, and I thought about that. And you know, I haven't found any explanation for that. But as I started studying about lambs and goats, I thought, maybe it's because he hasn't bred yet. And as I studied, I discovered that you can breed a lamb as early as 5 months. But certain types of sheep, you don't breed until they're 18 months. So I believe the reason is because this lamb had not been bred. It was not the father. They would not be orphaning another lamb by taking this one as a sacrifice. So he had to be without blemish. He couldn't be blind or halt or lame. He couldn't have any marks on him. Couldn't have any disease. And he had to be a perfect lamb. Had to be a male 1 year. And so this is the offering. This is a sacrifice God said for them to bring. On the 10th day, I want you to keep it till the 14th day. And you've kept that lamb now for the 14th day. I don't know about you, but I think if I brought home a puppy today, it wouldn't take 4 days for my kids to get attached to it. What do you think? In fact, I'll tell you this. When I brought home goats, it didn't take 4 days for the kids to get attached to them, right? They get attached automatically. Now this lamb is going to be in your home for 4 days. Take them, separate them, hold them apart for 4 days. I want you to get attached to it. I want you to understand that there's value. I want you to understand that that lamb's got a personality, that it's real, that it's alive, that there's life in it. And I don't want it to just be a quick sacrifice. I want you to understand. I want you to get attached to it. I want you to have something invested in it. I think of David. When David went to Ornan's threshing floor, and he's the king, and he went up there, and God told him to make a sacrifice, and he went up to this place, which was the same place that Abraham had gone. He went to that same place, which is Mount Moriah. He got up to the top of that mountain, and Ornan says, well, man, you can have whatever you want. You're the king. You can just have it. And he said, I'll not give God that which cost me nothing. You see, I believe the same thing's true here. I believe that God wanted these families to get attached to that little lamb. 4 days, not a long time, but enough for them to understand that it's more than just a treat. There's animation, there's life in it. And so, keep it for 4 days, to the 14th day. And then on that 14th day, I want everybody, all at the same time, everybody, all the Jews in Goshen, I want you to sacrifice the lamb that same evening. Everybody. Now notice that he said, I want you to get it and I want it to be considered. How much lamb do you need? So you see, there's a spiritual and this physical attachment. So it's a sacrifice so we can be right with God, so we can be under God's protection and God's mercy. But it also has to do with our flesh. And isn't that the reality of everything we do? When it comes to sin, when it comes to church, you know, we come to God asking forgiveness because of our flesh, because of our sin. We need a spiritual forgiveness for our physical sin. And we need God's grace and His mercy. And so He gives us that same analogy way back there. And He says, I want you to take hyssop. If you go over to verse 22, because He didn't mention it exactly there, but in the same chapter in verse 22, this is when Moses took God's word to the people. He said, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin from the lamb, strike the lintel across the top of the door, and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. Now, because he's using hyssop, of course, there's going to be dripping off of that bunch. And dip it in the basin and you put it at the top. Now, what do you think it's going to do? It's going to drip down, isn't it? And then he said, I want you to put it on the side posts. put it on the side post, and as you cross over, what's going to happen? It's going to make a cross on the door, isn't it? A red cross on the door, a cross out of blood. And so he uses that hyssop. I looked at that hyssop and I thought about it. And you know, in Psalm 51:7, David says, "Purge me with hyssop." When Jesus is on the cross, they used hyssop. They dipped it in hyssop. They dipped the hyssop and gave it to him. Also in Hebrews 9 and verse 19, the Bible tells us that Moses used hyssop and he dipped it in the blood and he sprinkled it on the altar and on the book and on the people. That hyssop comes in all throughout the scripture. So it was significant all the way back here with Passover. In verse number 8, he says, "Eat the flesh. Eat it with unleavened bread." Remember, and I tell you this because I don't want you to ever forget, the unleavened bread, you keep the leaven, the yeast out of it, and it keeps it from puffing up. It keeps it from rising up. And God doesn't want us. Look, when you go to prayer, I hear preachers say, when you go to God, you go in there and you tell God what you want. And you go to God, you bow your head and humble yourself and pray, and you tell Him what you want. You don't come in there demanding it. He's God. That's right. You ask. And that's what the Bible says. You ask. You don't come in there telling Him what to do. He's God. And yet people come in there, "Oh, I'm gonna..." But God says, "Take the leaven out, because I don't want you to be puffed up." It's pride, it's ego, it's sin. So the unleavened bread, we take the leaven out, we keep the leaven out. In fact, and Brother Greg talked about this when he was here from Chosen People's Ministry, and it's something we know. But see, for Passover in a Jewish home, we go through the whole house. And you make sure there's no leaven in the house. You take all the bread, all the yeast, everything that is leavened, you take it out of the house. If there's any leftover cupcakes or cakes or anything like that, you eat that real quick, get rid of it. No, but you get rid of all the leaven in the house, because there's not to be any leaven in the house. God said no leaven in the house. Leaven represents sin. We're coming before God. This is when we come before God and we're asking Him to shed His blood for us. We're asking Him to let that blood be our sacrifice. And so we got to get the sin out. We got to repent. We got to confess. And that's what we're doing here. And so you take all the leaven out of the house. In the Jewish home today, they'll take all the leaven out. They'll hide some leaven. And the kid that finds the leaven wins a prize. Just like Easter egg hunting, same thing. You hunt and you look and you find. And so they leave a little leaven in the house and they sweep it up. It's a big ceremony. Everybody, "Oh, he found it. And they get the dustpan and they sweep it up and they take it out of the house. All the leaven's out of the house. Finally, it's all clear. We're all clear out of the house. That's the idea. And so, we remove the leaven. Now, on that 14th day, you make the sacrifice. You roast the lamb, not sodden. What does it mean, not sodden? Somebody explain that to me. Not boiled, not... So, what would we say it's not watered down? Oh boy, that's good, isn't it? God doesn't want it to be watered down. Look, the Bible says this. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. The only way for us to be back in grace with God is to receive that blood sacrifice to wash away our sins. Don't water it down. Don't make it any different than that. You say, "Well, if you just believe." Well, the Bible says believe and ask. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. So we don't want to water it down. We don't want to make it easy. Well, if you just go to church and be a good person. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible doesn't say ask Jesus into your heart. You see? And then we trip over that. And I don't want to get choked down on it. But just be plain about it. The Bible says we're sinners. And Jesus died for us. And when we trust Him as our Savior, ask His forgiveness. He washes our sins away. That's how it happens. So don't water it down. Not raw. Not watered down. And have it with bitter herbs. Now, today in the Passover, we use the bitter herb, usually horseradish. We use the bitter herb, and that bitter herb is to represent the bitterness of slavery. The bitterness of sin. That's what it represents. And so eat it with the bitter herb. And then in verse 10, he says, "Let nothing of it remain to the morning." Let me encourage you something. And I believe everybody here has accepted Christ as your Savior. That's your testimony. But don't wait. Don't hold your sin over till tomorrow. Don't say, well, I still got this little sin, but you know I'm going to hang on to this one. No, you get it all confessed, all forgiven. Repent of all of it. Don't hold it over till morning. Don't hold on to your sin. Don't hold on till morning. And then in verse 22, we talked about it, but one part we didn't miss, is that, or we did miss it, the last part, we didn't read it. He says, none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. God doesn't want us to get out of His grace. God doesn't want us to leave His grace. Now you say, oh, Pastor, once we're saved, it's done, it's settled, our name's written in heaven, it can't be erased. You're right. But the problem is that people are quick to walk away from God, aren't they? They really are. They get saved and walk away. There are a lot of people who get saved and never get baptized, or get baptized and never come back. And it's sad, but they just walk away from God. It happens a lot. And so he says, don't leave, stay. Eat all of it. Nothing, anything that's left shall be burned up. So we want to get the fullness of God's grace. He attaches that grace or that mercy to what our flesh needs. So the Spirit of God can meet our fleshly needs. Okay? Salvation is a fleshly need. How many of you have ever carried guilt? And when you carry guilt, it'll eat you up. So we need that grace. It's attached. The Spirit and the flesh are not independent. In verse number 11, if we skip back over there, he says, thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, in other words, your clothes on, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So in other words, we're ready to go. We're ready to work. We're ready to serve. Look, when we get saved, we ought to come to God ready to serve. When we get baptized, we ought to come to God ready to serve. If you come to God and get saved and you're not ready to do anything for God, you're probably not going to pick up an attitude of readiness later. Right? We need to be ready now. And I'm excited about this man getting saved, David. He gets saved, and that's wonderful. And I hope that he went straight home and said to his wife, baby, I need to tell you something. Something happened to me today. And boy, what a time. Passover, Jewish family. You talk about an upset. It could be an upset, couldn't it? But to have that grace and say, baby, it's real. Honey, I know. I trusted him, and he saved my soul, and something's changed. I hope he went home and did that. I hope he's able to do that with his family. And I hope that every time somebody gets saved, they do like Levi, Matthew, the apostle did. He said, let's go back to my house and have a party. Let's call all my friends together and have a party. Cornelius did that in the book of Acts. We ought to celebrate our salvation, celebrate baptism, celebrate our rededication to God. So he says, be armed and eat it hastily. How many of you, when you were eating one time, your mom or father said, hey, stop eating so fast? All right, God, the command He gives us here, eat hastily, eat it, get after it. I want you to eat like you got something to do later, because you do. It is the Lord's Passover. I believe the message, though, is to receive God quickly. Quickly search His grace. The Bible says, seek Him while He is near. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near, while He may be found. I believe when he comes to verse 22, and I know we already looked back at it, he said, none shall leave the house. I believe there's a reason for that. Think about it. You're there in Goshen that night. It's your home. The promise is this, the firstborn shall be taken. How many of you are firstborn? Okay, so some of you are in trouble. Be careful. Right? Firstborn. Now, we are talking about men. Firstborn male shall be taken. Now, what about mom and dad? How many of them were firstborn? Think about that. So they were firstborn. So you could lose a parent and a child. Oh, and by the way, he said, and the beasts in the field. Go outside and know, you know, all your cattle, the firstborn, could all be dead. How important was it to follow God? It was important. So they went in that night, they had their roasted lamb, they had their bitter herb, and they sat down to eat with their unleavened bread, and they gathered their family. If it was a small family, the neighbor came over and they all shared it. And they came together and they ate. And they were dressed and they ate hastily. They ate it quickly. And they would stay there all night. All night. What happens after dinner? Kids can't go out and play. What do they do? They sit around and talk. They reflect. They contemplate. They think about what it means that firstborn would be taken. They sit in there and think about it and they wonder and they listen. What about the neighbors? What about the ones down the road? Wonder if anybody there is safe. Wonder if everybody's safe around us. And they really think about this and they understand the consequence of sin. They understand the consequence of disobedience. And they want to get their heart close to God. They want to be right with God. And so they, no doubt they pray and they hold to each other. Very careful to do right, to be right with God. It means that they were saving themselves, saving their family, saving their animals. The blood, verse 13. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We recognize that, don't we? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Judgment was coming. Judgment was sure. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This, we have 3 days in here that are marked. Actually, 4. So on the 10th day, take the lamb. On the 14th day, make the sacrifice. For 7 days, unleavened bread. Observe the feast of unleavened bread. He goes on down in verse number 26 and he says there'll be a time, verse 26 to 27, there'll be a time when you observe this feast and your children are going to say, what does it mean? And I want you to tell them that God delivered you from Egypt. That God delivered you from slavery and bondage. You see, salvation is not about dressing right and going to church. It's about being delivered. Salvation is about being free from that which held us back and bound us to sin and to judgment. In verses 43, look at verse 41 real quick. Who's got it? Verse 41. What does it say in verse 41? So on the 430th anniversary, even that exact day of the 430th anniversary of them going into bondage, going into Egypt, God freed them. 430 years. In verse 43, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. People question us and will even debate about a closed communion. Okay, and we practice that because, number one, it's a New Testament principle. But if you look back to the Old Testament, it's an Old Testament principle. He says, the only ones who can observe this feast of unleavened bread with you, this Passover, are those who are Jews. Now, you say, well, can anybody else observe it? Yes, it goes on and it says, every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat. So if he's been brought in, if he has taken that covenant, then he can take it. You see, once he's entered in. But not a stranger. He says in verse 45, a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. So it's exclusive. Only the covenanted, only the converted shall participate. And we look at the order of the unleavened bread in respect of the communion, and it's after the blood. After the blood's been shed. After the blood's been accepted. After that sacrifice has been claimed by us for our salvation, for our mercy. Then, the unleavened bread. So, Passover, while it's being celebrated all around the world tonight, and in the past couple of days, this Feast of Unleavened Bread is being observed. I hope that we as Christians can get a sense of what it was that night. Far removed from it. But you imagine being in bondage for 430 years. And now they're free. Now, with freedom comes responsibility, doesn't it? They didn't step out of Egypt into the promised land. There was a journey. There was a process. Somebody called me the other day, he spent a lot of time counseling. He said, I want it back. I want everything I've lost back. And I reminded him, and I remind you tonight, you did not get here overnight. You did not lose it all overnight. And it's going to take a while to get it back. Now, our salvation is instant. When we trust God, our sins are washed away instantly. But in order to mature, in order to grow, in order to be where we need to be with God, it takes time. And we have to grow and study and read and pray and seek and obey. Let's stand.